Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Welcome to another Family Classics. I'm your host, Dean Richards. Trying to fill the shoes of Fraser Thomas and Roy Leonard. Bringing you fine film entertainment here on WGN.
You are about to show another fine piece of filmography.
Yes, we are.
Aren't you?
We've got another Family Classics today, Shawnee.
I know. And once again, going back into my past years, I know you're not supposed to say things like, I remember when.
No, you can just don't say it every 5 minutes.
I remember.
Take a bold step into 2019 once in a while.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Not that bad, really.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Yeah, thank you.
I do remember seeing the movie that you will be screening today.
In the theater?
In the theater.
In the theater?
Mm-hmm.
I do, too. I remember seeing it in the theater, too, and it was quite the event because...
Everybody was in it.
Well, everybody's in this movie, but they presented it as if it were a play. It truly is one of the
most... Yeah, that's right. They
like did, one of the most colossal, epic motion pictures of all time. It starts off with an overture. What movie starts off with an overture? That's what they do for plays, you know, for musicals.
Musicals and so forth, right.
And it has an intermission. But when's the last time you saw, well, I guess Quentin Tarantino did it not too long ago, but it is rare when you see a movie that has an intermission anymore.
Well, it was rather long for its time.
Three and a half hours.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're running the whole thing today. We're not giving you...
Oh, you're not editing it.
We made one small edit in which the word retard is used.
Yeah.
The Peter Falk's character, he's like that crabby taxi driver in the movie.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of things that were said in movies back then are no longer acceptable.
Not gonna
work today. And we all happen to feel that's a particularly offensive word. So we snipped out one word out of the 3.5 hours. But you're going to see the movie as it was intended to be seen. It's going to start at 1 o'clock today. It's a mad, 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 mad world with Spencer Tracy, Milton Berle, Mickey Rooney, Ethel Merman, Edie Adams. Who else? Everybody. Jonathan Winters is in it. Is hilarious in it. Trying to think, who am I? It's a long list. And during the movie, you know, during some of the commercial breaks, I talk about who wanted to be in the movie and who didn't, and people who, you know, either couldn't be or wouldn't be, or, you know, we've got a lot of interesting behind the scenes story during the commercial breaks as well. But it's a classic movie. It's a mad, 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 mad world. Another WGN Family Classics today at 1 o'clock. Standing in Frasier's spot. It's in Frasier's spot. What's left of the Family Classics original set.
Looks pretty intact to me.
It's pretty intact. We've got the books. We've got the bookcases. We've got
the boat. The ship.
The ship. The Frasier's ship that's up on the bookshelf.
The chair.
The original chair that if I sat in, and I'm pretty sure it would fall to pieces. but it looks good, and that's all that matters. So we're happy to bring that to you. And by the way, thank you so much. We've had such a nice response to all of the Family Classics that we've presented. We're so happy that you're enjoying it all. It brings back a lot of memories for people. But people are just enjoying, you know, we're being very selective in the movies that we're choosing to put on Family Classics. Just like Roy did, Roy Leonard, and just like Fraser Thomas did. We don't want to put just anything on there. So we're happy that it's being received well and that people are enjoying it. So enjoy today. one of the great movies of all time.
I have a request for a future airing.
I don't remember saying any. Do you remember
the phone lines are not open, Dave.
Do you remember hearing that we're taking requests for Family Classic?
No, I don't remember
that. Yeah, give
just
us a call. You say it, we'll play it, man.
Just saying.
What's that?
The Time Machine.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Yep. Okay, I'm done.
I like The Time Machine. I've been pushing for Boys Town.
Boys Town, definitely.
Which was a favorite on Family Classics for years. Andy, you want to throw one into the mix?
The Apple Dumpling Gang.
Don't make it Porky's, please.
No, that would be good, too. You'd have to edit that one a lot more than you edited this one today.
That would be a Manson Family Classic.
Yes, it would be. You know, you mentioned Overture in the movie.
Shawnee liked that one.
Am I the only one that, whenever I hear that word, thinks of the Bugs Bunny Overture, Curtain Lights?
Overture, this is it. We'll hit the lights. This is it. The night of nights.
I think about that all the time. Whenever you say, I heard you mention it with Steve Cochran the other day, and Overture. I was like, oh, Overture, Curtain Lights.
Oh, now you.
I won't sing the rest.
You
of
want
it.
Me to? Play.
Now it's gonna, that's going to be in my mind the rest of the day. Now.
That's going to become today's. I've been working on the rail. One song that we put in
your
head.
That was unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll play that later on. So here's the problem with Time Machine, Boys Town, a lot of the classics. We'd love to present them all. The way the TV stations get rights to play movies are very, very, very different these days than they were back in the days
when
Frasier and Roy were playing movies. The Turner Family Movie Classics, and there's so many movie channels now that swallow up the rights to a lot of the movies. So back in Frasier's day, there was it was just local TV that would compete for the movie, so it was easier for us to get them. So some of these movies are tough to get the rights to, but we're trying. We're going to try. And I'll work on Porky's for you also.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Maybe we can
not Porky's 2, Porky's 1, the original.
Well, we should do like a whole afternoon, all three of them.
That'd be fun.
That would be something. Mm-hmm. If we want to lose the license, that would be a perfect way to do it.
Could follow it up with Slapshot.
Let us take a break. We're going to be talking auto show today. The auto show just kicked off this weekend. We're going to be talking Grammys, of course. The big Grammy Awards are tonight. My suggestion to you is that you watch It's a Mad, 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 Mad World and then switch right over to the Grammy Awards, because that's about how it's going to work out today. So you can go from Spencer Tracy to Kendrick Lamar, all in one channel sweep.
With Alicia Keys as
with
your host.
Alicia Keys, I think she's going to do a great job.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm a big Alicia Keys fan. I'm a big fan of her music, but I think she's going to be good as a host. If she doesn't try to be, super funny, I think if she keeps her own vibe, which I think she will, I think she's going to be spectacular with that. So anyway, we'll talk more about the Grammys and go over the nominees and past nominees. Shawnee, I know you're going to want to dwell in the past. we're going to go back for...
I won't break the 40-year rule.
For some of the past winners, we'll get into that coming up later. We've got a lot going on this morning. It's Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Here tomorrow morning on the WGN Morning News, I'll be recapping the Grammy Awards. We'll see if this one winds up being a big winner.
I like stunning, I like shining, I like million-dollar deals. Where's my pen? I'm signing. I like
Shawnee, here is my offer to you. I will give you $10,000 if you can tell me who this is.
I put rocks all in my watch. I like texts from my exes when they want to.
Time clock is ticking. $10,000, Shawnee, if you can name this song. Nominated for a Grammy Award.
He's so intimidated, he walked out of the newsroom.
He's going to get his Shazam app right now. See, that's the app that you hold up to the speaker and it tells you what song it is. I just better be more careful with my extravagant bets for him. This is Cardi B, nominated for Record of the Year. I Like It. Cardi B, Bad Bunny, and J Balvin nominated, one of the nominees for Record of the Year. Are you familiar with this one, Andy?
No, I hate to admit it. But
so I could have offered you $10,000.
You could have offered me $10,000 and you would be able to keep your money. Yeah, I hate to admit it, but I kind of lost touch with the current songs a few years ago.
That happens at some point.
Yeah.
Not sure. There comes a point where you just
tune it out.
You tune it out.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that you probably only know one song in this whole list of records, songs that have been nominated.
Okay.
The Joke, Brandi Carlile.
Okay. Keep going.
Do you have a little of that? Yeah. Ariel, give me a little bit here. Give me an idea.
They can kick dirt in your face, dress you down, and tell you that your place is
anything?
In the middle.
Yeah, nothing.
When they hate the way you
okay,
shine.
Let's
no offense to these people, of course.
No.
Yeah.
No, none. I'm sure none taken.
Yeah.
And the whole audience is going, I'm with Andy. I have no idea what this is either. And I'll bet most of our listeners only know one song on here. This is Childish Gambino, This Is America.
Oh.
Toe tapper.
Yeah, I'll stipulate that this is America, but I will not.
This is America.
Hey, this is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now.
One of the most memorable videos of the year, that's for sure.
Is that the same group that did A Horse with No Name?
Oh, man.
Oh, that was America.
Uh-huh.
That was America.
Yeah. Let's move on to Drake. Drake would be another nominee. He's got 7 nominations, as a matter of fact, in total. And this song up for Record of the Year is called God's Plan.
I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me.
Sing along, Shwani.
Pull up at 6 a.m.
Jump in, Shwani.
You know how I like it when you loving on me.
Well, if I knew the words.
Shwani's just jumping around the newsroom like
got
the
a
rappers
nice beat.
Do on
you
stage.
Can dance to it.
There's nothing about Oz or the Tin Man in that.
No, you're right. Or Sir Galahad.
Let's move on.
You got Ventura Highway on that list? That's one of my favorites.
In the sunshine. Let's move on.
You're going
to
go. I know.
Kendrick Lamar has the most nominations. Kendrick Lamar's got 8 nominations. This is a song that he did with SZA. Are you into SZA at all, Shwani?
No.
He's left-handed SZA.
Yeah, that's true.
This one's called All the Stars.
It's my percentage you I'm building with. I want the credit if I'm losing or I'm winning. On my mama, that's the really.
This one could actually wind up winning. This, all the experts are saying this one could win. From the movie Black Panther. Also, by the way. Let's move on to Post Malone. You love Post Malone, don't you? And
Sure.
21 Savage, who's been in the news for the past week because apparently he's been busted by immigration.
Yeah.
He was in this country without the correct credentials. This one is called Rockstar.
I was in popping pillies, man. I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star.
So you get a little sense of that one as well. Also nominated for Record of the Year is Zedd, Maren Morris, and Gray. Their song is called The Middle, nominated for Record of the Year.
Kitchen floors are wet, and taps are still running, dishes are broken. How did we get into this mess? Got so aggressive.
You know this one? Just wondering about it all?
All good intentions.
You know, the Kendrick Lamar one rang a bell for me.
Oh,
that's
really?
Not the only one, yeah.
Well, there's one more.
Oh, actually, wait. I heard this one. I have heard this one.
That's the part I think that everybody knows that part. But here's the one for sure that I think everybody knows. Also nominated for Record of the Year, unknown singer named Lady Gaga, along with well-known actor Bradley Cooper. This is Shallow. Later on in the show, Shwani and Andy are going to do their own version of this song.
We're going to do the duet, yeah. We haven't decided who's going to be Lady Gaga yet.
I think there really is no question as to who should be Lady Gaga. Our own homemade version of this. But this one's also nominated for Record of the Year. And could win, maybe. I think this song will win for Song of the Year, which is a songwriting award, not Record of the Year, which is overall recording. I think the Kendrick Lamar song is going to win for Record of the Year.
Okay.
Shawnee, your prediction?
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
I wanted to mention we have a couple of Chicagoans in the jazz vocal nomination.
We do.
Yes, we do. Kurt Elling is nominated for his album, The Questions.
He's a great
and
singer.
And Freddie Cole.
Oh, Freddie Cole.
Brother of one Nat King Cole.
How about that?
My Mood Is You.
Very nice. I'll have to play a little of those later on.
And then there's in the Latin Jazz Ensemble category, there is one. Oh, this is just unbelievable. It is called West Side Story Reimagined. Mm. It's by Bobby Sanabria and the Multiverse Big Band. It was recorded live at Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola in New York. And it's all the music from West Side Story set to, arranged for, a Latin jazz big band.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Wow. I'm going to look for some of that.
It is amazing.
We'll see if we can play some of that.
Okay.
Very nice addition to our Grammy segment, Daddy-O.
Daddy-O.
Yeah, man.
All right. You're making fun of me again.
No.
I would never do such a thing.
Nope. No.
Never do such a thing.
Not you.
What I'm going to do is take a short break, and then we're going to get to the news.
You can drive my car. Yes, I'm going to be a star.
It's 9:53.
Baby.
And this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN,
baby,
where the Chicago Auto Show kicked off yesterday.
Prospects were good.
First opened in 1901. Chicago Auto Show is the largest auto show in North America. This year marks the 111th edition of the amazing Chicago Auto Show, and Dave Sloan is the president of the Chicago Auto Trade Association and the Auto Show General Manager. Dave, welcome to WGN. Happy 111th anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you. It's actually probably the 118th anniversary, but we missed a few during World War II.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
That's why the math doesn't work out.
What would have been shown at the 1901 Chicago Auto Show? What
you know, it was interesting. They had an oval test track around the display at the Chicago Coliseum, and they just wanted to show people what these contraptions did and to sign up dealers. So you had you had a number of different automakers, but it was just to sort of prove the technology, which is not too far from what we're still doing.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Just to have a show to show what these contraptions do. Isn't that
right.
Amazing? Juxtaposed to, you know, what we're seeing at this year's show. Plus, I imagine also at the first auto show, you could probably get your glasses cleaned and buy fudge also, right?
That's a good point.
I have to think that they were doing that as well. It's mind-blowing to see some of the things that are going on at the auto show this year that, by the way, will run until February 18th at McCormick Place at 23rd and Lakeshore Drive. What are some of the headlines, do you think, for this year's show, Dave?
Well, you know, always one of the more popular things on the show floor are the indoor test tracks that some of the exhibitors do. For the 15th year in a row, we have the Jeep test track, which was sort of a Back to the Future thing when we started it back in 2005 or 6, I think. And because, like I said, we had a test track in 1901, and here it was coming back in 2005. And it's just such a fun thing to do to see the capabilities of some of these sport utilities vehicles. And the Jeep Hill is almost like riding a roller coaster. They take you over the hill, and you're hanging in your seat belts. And then Land Rover's got a new one, too, which is a very similar experience. And Ram and Kia with their new Telluride. So all kinds of fun things to do.
Yeah, people wait, you know, wait their turns to check out those. Another thing that I noticed, I watched the WGN TV preview of the auto show last night. Virtual reality seems to be, you know, almost everywhere at the auto show.
Yeah, yeah. And, it's part of the interactivity that the automakers do to show off some of this new technology that's out there. You know, the average age of cars on the road today is still 11 years. So if people haven't been in the market for a while, getting used to some of this new technology and understanding it before you get behind the wheel is very important. Some of the lane keeping technology and the different things that happen, you know, to warn you of a collision and cars parking themselves. It's really incredible.
Really, it is. You know, the other thing that seems to be much more prevalent than we've seen at previous auto shows are electric cars, you know, hybrids and just pure electric plug-ins now that seems like almost everybody has a version now.
You're right. Jaguar has a new I-Pace, and Audi has the e-tron. So those are a couple of the high-end exciting ones. And then Hyundai with their Kona and the Chevrolet Bolt has a 238-mile range.
Wow.
Which, you know, just a few years ago seemed like too much to think about. And it's affordable. It's really incredible how far they've come.
Yeah, that used to be the argument against electric cars is, you know, I can't use them with my application. I may be too far away, and where am I going to charge it? But you go anywhere now, and they have charging stations.
Right. Several years ago, I leased a Volt for 3 years, Chevrolet Volt, which was the plug-in hybrid. But 93% of my miles were electric, even though I had a gas engine on board.
Wow, how about that?
Because you can, like you say, you can charge it a lot of places.
People, you know, it's just a tradition. I know it certainly was in my family, and I think with most, it's just a tradition to make a visit to the auto show, to, you know, spend the day, to have a meal. I mean, you've got other things, lots of other things that are going on over the next couple of weeks as well, really geared toward the entire family, right?
Absolutely. And like I said, the exhibitors, the automakers have gotten so good at having fun things for everyone in the family to do. Ford this year has these things they call scramble nets, which are nets that are about 15 feet above the ground. And kids of all ages can walk through these rope. They're like rope bridges from one side to the other.
Right.
They're a lot of fun.
A lot of fun till Uncle Dean gets his foot caught in it someplace. They have to call the paramedics to get me out of there. That would be embarrassing. But you as always, you have a Women's Day that'll be coming up this coming Tuesday, the 12th. You have a food drive that's coming up. You have a craft beer night next Friday.
So real quick about the food drive. Believe it or not, we gather 10 tons of food from generous Chicagoans for A Safe Haven, which is really kind of a neat story. And you're right, craft beer night, a number of different local craft brewers will be on the show floor so people can do tasting. That's a special ticket you need to go on and check. So we're working with the people from Chew Chicago who did Friday night flights all summer long.
Yeah,
so we have them indoors here. Yeah,
there's a special sports team pride day that's coming up. You can get more information on all of these things by going to the auto show's website, Dave, which is what?
ChicagoAutoShow.com.
Couldn't be any easier. Look forward to seeing you there. It's Dave Sloan, the president of the Chicago Auto Trade Association and the general manager of the auto show. Have a great day today, Dave, and thank you for taking some time with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
We're in our performance studio where we're about to hear, I'm hoping we're going to hear a performance. Pretty sure that we are, because what you missed was the incredibly entertaining introduction that I gave to our next guests who are here in studio with us.
Peabody Award winning.
Peabody Award winning.
Wow. Well, we can recreate
Peabody
that magic.
Awards every Sunday in this
That's
program.
Right. That's right. Sean Whitley and Kieran McCabe and Zach Stevenson are here, who you have heard here on WGN and different shows that they've been in, like Million Dollar Quartet that's out at the Marriott Lincolnshire, the Buddy Holly story. You guys are putting on a one-night-only show with friends of yours and cast members to celebrate and to commemorate the 60th anniversary of the day the music died, when Buddy Holly
and Richie Valens and the Big Bopper all went down in a plane crash, killing them all at incredibly young ages. But this music that they've made is so timeless, and still, you know, is magic, as we've seen from so many different shows, Buddy Holly shows, and that era of music. Mm. So tell us about the show that you're going to do, and we'll do our best to get it on the air.
Thank you. Great, thanks. Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been 60 years, and, you know, the music obviously lives on, as is exemplified by the Buddy Holly story that we did last year. We ran for 6 months, something like that. It was very successful. We were nominated for 5 Jeff Awards, and we came home with all 5 of them. I mean, we didn't win them. We came home.
Took them.
Yeah, took them. Yeah. No,
it's unfortunate for the other shows that did win. But, yeah.
No, but, you know, Buddy Holly, you know, he's really credited as a great influencer in music. Before there were professional influencers on social media, you had to play music to make an influence. And Buddy Holly's impact is still obviously felt today. He's one of the guys that's credited with kind of creating that indie rock band lineup that we take for granted: 2 guitars, bass, drums. He wrote his own songs.
Is there something about like that basic structure of music, though, that Buddy Holly was doing, that early Elvis was doing, that is so timeless, and so it's like it's raw and it's visceral, and it like it touches something in you when you hear this music sort of at its simplest, rawest form?
Yeah, it's hard to put a finger on it, but I think really a big part of it is just it's connecting with the other musicians. You know, they're not hiding behind production. There's no auto-tune on the vocals. It's very raw, but you have to create the sound together at the same time in the room and connect with your band. And we connected in particular. Like, we can't get enough of hanging out with each other and making music. So the show ended, I don't know, however many months ago, but now, you know, we keep getting together to play, writing some of our own tunes, and we're just so happy to get back together to play and commemorate the 60th anniversary, because we want to keep this music alive, the spirit of Buddy Holly and this type of the genre, you know?
Yeah. So I just want to talk about the instruments that you've brought in to play here today, because it's so simple, yet it's so cool at the same time. This is just an acoustic guitar, right?
We're kind of doing the unplugged Buddy Holly and the Crickets unplugged. I just got an acoustic Martin guitar. And
give us a couple of strums there, just real quick, just so we hear a little solo. Nice and clean. Beautiful. And Kieran, it looks like a regular drum set that you're playing here today.
It sure is. It's actually my first drum kit I've ever owned.
Is that right?
That's right. I got this in fifth grade when I was 12 years old.
Seriously?
Brought it all the way out from Philadelphia because it's just small enough to fit in my little apartment.
It's perfect. You know what a lot of people are wondering, a lot of texts this morning, what did you have for breakfast before you actually came here?
Well, I made sure to have a small black coffee with a biscuit egg sandwich with bacon, egg, and cheese.
That's
keep me going. Keep
that's
me drumming.
Part of what the listeners didn't hear when we had our technical malfunction here this morning, and I just thought it was so random and weird that I wanted to make sure we included it in the regular interview. And Sean, you have my favorite instrument. Nothing against you other guys here, but an old-fashioned stand-up bass to me is the coolest instrument in the world.
Yeah, it serves a lot of purposes. It keeps the low end thumping, and before drums were really present on a lot of records, it held down the rhythm section as well. So it was it has a lot of uses, because you have the low end, but then you can also slap it, so it's got this kind of snare sound. So you're like.
Is it like playing a bass guitar?
It is kind of. You can do a slap technique on an electric bass, but you do that more with the side of your thumb. And this, you kind of use your whole hand to hit it.
Yeah. Do people not play that instrument more often anymore because it's so gigantic to lug around?
I think I see a lot of people playing these things still. Yeah, it's still, especially this style of music, rockabilly and old rock and roll. This has the sound that you're going for, and it's a fun instrument to play, and yeah, I love it.
We're going to hear all the instruments put together, a couple of songs here this morning. When we come back next, we'll tell you also how you can see this one-night-only show at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn tomorrow night by going to fitzgeraldsnightclub.com to get tickets. $10 for an amazing show that's going to be put on. We'll get a little preview of that next on WGN.
The Blackhawks are hot. The Blackhawks and the Detroit Red Wings from the United Center. Chris Bowden has the pregame at 1:30. John and Troy have the puck drop at 2.
This is Patrick King, Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN.
Create a moment for your special someone this Valentine's Day with new Hallmark Paper Wonder Cards. These cards pop open to reveal a 3D scene that will let your favorite person know how much you care. Because sometimes with all the texts and notifications, the schedules and to-do lists, it's easy to forget to pause and appreciate what's right in front of you. So take a moment to create a moment with a Hallmark Paper Wonder Card this Valentine's Day. Available in the card department wherever Hallmark cards are sold.
Has investing into cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology piqued your interest, but you don't know how or where to get started? Then turn to the experts.
Hi, my name is Christine Ashmore, Executive Vice President with Chicago Crypto Capital. We're a blockchain advisory firm specializing in early stage projects. We are at the forefront of a digital revolution with incredible ground floor investment opportunities.
Schedule a free consultation at chicagocryptocapital.com or give them a call at 312-600-1842. Chicago Crypto Capital, Chicago's leading blockchain advisory firm.
Because farm is in our name, you know that we care about the health and well-being of your animals. We carry an unbeatable selection of superior quality bulk feed, as well as probiotics, dewormers, buckets, blankets, bedding, and more. Everything you need to keep your animals healthy and feeling their best. Feed your livestock the smart way with a Balin Country Sheeted Heavy Duty Bale Feeder. Its S-shaped bar dividers help save hay, priced at $359.99. Save $20 on a 3-block mineral feeder from Balin Country. Its self-closing cover keeps out moisture and dirt. On sale, $109.99. And stock up on 50-pound bags of Waukesha Sure Tread Barn Line. It's $179 a bag. For superior bulk feeds and livestock supplies, trust the animal experts at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Press for time? Use our drive-through service and leave the heavy lifting to us. Just drive up, place your order, and we'll have you loaded up and on your way in no time. That's genuine value. From Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955.
Get ready to die laughing. Porchlight Music Theater brings to Chicago multi-Jeff Award winner and audience favorite Matt Kroll, portraying 8 hysterical characters in the 2014 Tony Award-winning best musical, A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. Chicago critics are calling Porchlight Music Theater's hilarious 5 out of 5-star production of A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder fabulous, superb, and a must-see event. A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder must close March 16th, only at Porchlight Music Theater in Chicago's Gold Coast. Tickets and more information at PorchlightMusicTheater.org.
It is 10:52. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN, our weekend theater segment. Today featuring a special show that's going to be going on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at one of the great clubs in the Chicago area, Fitzgerald's in Berwyn. This is a place where you get great music. It's been there forever, and they really appreciate, don't they, the live performance. You can have a beverage or two while you're there.
Maybe two, yeah.
Yeah, maybe two is probably the limit, so you don't go nuts during the show. But it's a great club, and music like this especially complements it. Mm-hmm. Zach Stevenson, his buddy Holly, Karen McCabe, Sean Whitley, and a special show one night only tomorrow night at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn.
I'm gonna tell you how it's gonna be. You're gonna give your love to me. I wanna love you night and day.
bop. You know my love will not fade away. Bop, 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 bop. Say you know my love will not fade away. Bop, 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 bop. In the Cadillac, bop, 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 bop. I try to show it and you're driving me back. Bop, 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 bop. Your love for me, you got to be real. Bop, 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 bop. Before you to know just how I feel. Bop, 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 bop. A love for real and it'll fade away. Bop, 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 bop. Loving to me, bop, 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 bop. A love to last more than one day. Bop, 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 bop. Our love is a love and not fade away. Bop, 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 bop. Said a buddy Holly, not fade away. Hey!
The show is tomorrow night, one night only, 8 o'clock at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn, and only $10 for a ticket. Where are you going to get entertainment like that for just $10? You can get your tickets in advance at FitzgeraldsNightclub.com. FitzgeraldsNightclub.com. Got time for one more song?
Yeah,
sure. Got
do.
One more yeah. for us?
All right. This was Buddy Holly's first number one hit, and it goes a little something like this.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie. That'll be the day when I die. Well, you give me all your love and then your turtle dove and all your hugs and kisses and your money too. Well, you say you love me, baby. Still, you tell me maybe that someday will. When I die, all right now. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day. When you made me cry, you say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, when Cupid shot his dart, he shot it at your heart. So if we ever part and I leave you, you say to hold me and you tell me boldly. Oh, that someday will I'll be through. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, that'll be the day. Ooh, ooh, that'll be the day.
Take that, Cardi B. Play that on the Grammys tonight. Live music. Like it's supposed to be. You'll be able to see it all at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn. 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Fitzgerald'sNightclub.com. You can buy tickets at the door, though, too.
Absolutely. Yep.
If they're still available.
If they're still available.
That's why you want to get your tickets in advance. Guys, thank you for coming in. It sounded great. Zach Stevenson, as Buddy Holly, and Karen McCabe on drums. Sean Whitley with a broken finger playing that stand-up bass, by the way. Even more impressive.
Unbelievable.
Even more impressive. We'll post some pictures of the cast on his hand while he's playing this massive instrument. That's the kind of showman he is.
And that's it. Right.
God, thank you for coming in.
Thanks so much, thanks. Dean.
Quick break. And we'll...
Certain amount of money buried down in this park. Now, I suggest that we quietly get into our cars, and then when we get down there, we dig up the money, providing that there is some money there.
There's only one way to figure it, and that is every man for himself.
Oh, and then the chase began. Buddy Hackett, Jonathan Winters, Mickey Rooney, Edie Adams, Ethel Merman, Sid Caesar,
by land,
the great Spencer Tracy,
by sea,
Phil Silvers,
by air.
Oh, we've got some fantastic stories to tell, a little behind-the-scenes stories of the making of this film. When we present today, it's a mad, 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 mad world. Today at 1 o'clock on WGN-TV, our next WGN Family Classics. It's going to be fantastic. And we're running it as it was intended, as director Stanley Kramer intended this movie to be played, 3.5 hours. It's going to be a fun movie for everyone to watch. So I hope you'll tune in for that today. And then, Shwani, I don't know if you know, we've got another big special coming up next Sunday.
You do?
We do. You may have heard of a little show called Bozo Circus.
I have a vague memory.
Vague memory of it all that started in 1961 in its, you know, the configuration that we know it in. We have taken some great old footage that we had. We've had it digitally remastered, so it is beautiful, and we're going to present it in a special 2-hour presentation next Sunday night at 7 o'clock.
Okay, that's the first I've heard of it.
Bozo great. Circus, the 1960s.
Excellent. Oh, the 1960s.
It's going to be the original cast of Bozo Circus. Bob Bell, Ray Rayner as Oliver O'Oliver.
Don Sandberg as Sandy.
Don Sandberg as Sandy the Tramp. Ned Locke, of course, as Ringmaster Ned Locke. Bob Trendler, Mr. Bob with the...
the Big Top Band.
Bozo Big Top Band.
And one Don Hammernick. At the drums.
Featuring Don Hammernick, meteorologist Mike Hammernick's dad, who was in that band. So we've got some amazing footage that has been amazingly restored. As you know, there's very little footage that was kept, retained, after all of those years, 40 years of the Bozo Show, especially the early years. They just never thought to keep it. They, the videotape was... something kind of new and novel, and it's like, oh, we can record over this. Let's record over it. And unfortunately, you know, history was lost, just like the old Tonight shows with Johnny Carson. Just never kept them. They just never did.
There's no video of the very first one,
Of the early shows. That's
The very first show with Carson on it. We just have an audio track.
So, whatever, footage that we can find, we put it together in this special. And we run it as it was intended to run, and that's going to be 1 week from today, 7 o'clock next Sunday night on WGN television.
Can I bring up one more item on It's a Mad, 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 Mad World?
Sure.
Since it's going to be on in 1 hour and 42 minutes.
1 o'clock today, is that what you mean?
That's 1 o'clock this afternoon, Central Standard Time.
Where would that be again?
WGN television.
Oh, okay.
Channel 9. Yeah. We've mentioned so many of the stars that are in the movie. Spencer Tracy, Phil Silvers, the list goes on and on. We have left out three performers.
Oh, we've left out many, many
that
performers.
Make a cameo appearance in the
movie. I know where this is going.
I do too. Go ahead.
None other than our favorites, the Three Stooges.
They make an appearance in
Yes, they do.
Let me, I went to IMDb. dot com.
Yes.
You know, that's the fantastic site.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
That shows you, it tells you everything about any television or motion picture, who's in it, all as many details as you possibly can. You want to hear the full cast of It's a Wonderful, or
It's a Wonderful Life.
Jeez.
Rushing the season, I think.
I guess a little bit. It's a mad, 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 mad world. Spencer Tracy, Milton Berle, Sid Caesar, Buddy Hackett, Ethel Merman, Mickey Rooney, Dick Shawn, Phil Silvers, Terry Thomas, the English actor, comedian, Jonathan Winters, Edie Adams, Dorothy Provine, Eddie Rochester Anderson. Remember him? He was a cab driver in the movie?
Yes.
Jim Backus in the movie as the drunk airplane owner.
Not as Mr. Howell.
Not as Mr. Howell. Not as Mr. Magoo. Ben Blue, who was, he played the biplane pilot. Joe E. Brown, comedian Joe E. Brown. Alan Carney. Chick Chandler. Okay, we're getting a little thick in the weeds here now. Lloyd Corrigan. William Demarest, Uncle Charlie.
Uncle Charlie from My Three Sons.
From My Three Sons. Andy Devine is in the movie. Selma Diamond. Peter Falk. Norman Fell. Mr. Roper, exactly. Stan Freeberg is in the movie. Sterling Holloway. Edward Everett Horton is in the movie. Buster Keaton is in the
movie. That's right.
Don Knotts is in the movie. Let me see here. Zazu Pitts. Carl Reiner plays the air traffic control guy. Who else do we have here? Alan Stang. Little mousy actor Alan Stang was the service station, the gas station owner, operator. Jesse White, Jimmy Durante, Jack Benny, Maury Amsterdam. Let me see, who else?
You're still not done?
It goes on and on and on and on. There's, you know, so many names.
Well, there are some names.
Some more familiar than others.
Yeah.
Jerry Lewis had a small role.
You just played a clip with him in it.
Let's see. Doodles Weaver. Remember Doodles Weaver?
Yes, I do. I can't say another name of the show that he was on because I'll break the 40-year-old rule. But...
Right, right. Well, I think we've more than broken that rule today.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, I think that the horse has already run out of the barn. But it's an amazing cast. And, we'll see the movie starting at 1. But in between some of the commercial breaks, we've got some really interesting facts about the making of this colossal undertaking, the history of it, who almost was in it, who almost wasn't in it, some really interesting facts and figures that we're going to be sharing as well. So I hope you can tune in and watch, and I hope you will enjoy it. I hope you'll remember to tell your friends. Next week we have... Bozo Circus, the 1960s. It'll be 7 p.m. next Sunday, both on your WGN television. Okay?
On your WGN television there.
Yep. I really should promote some of my outside interests. I really am so shy about some of the things that I'm involved in.
You don't bring it up enough.
Yeah, I'm kind of shy and retiring.
Matter of fact, I'm looking at you right now on the monitors in here. You're everywhere.
Am I on TV right now?
Yes, you are.
Oh, good. Am I at Channel 9 right now, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's frightening.
We're talking about family classics, as a matter of fact.
Hide your children. Hide your children. You never know where I'm going to turn up. A Victory Auto Records commercial can't be far behind. 1122 WGN.
And in the bad times, I fear myself.
So if Gaga wins the Grammy tonight, she's up a couple of times for this song, Shallow. She and Bradley Cooper, the record of the year, for song of the year. This is among the two top awards of the night. Record of the year is for the overall recording, the performances, the songwriting, the production, everything. Song of the year is strictly songwriting, and I think this song has a better chance of winning for Song of the Year than Record of the Year. But we'll see, and we'll report it all to you tomorrow morning. But if Gaga wins tonight, it'll become... she already has three Grammy Awards right now. She's been nominated for many, but already has three. So, you know, she could take home... four, five, or more awards for tonight. Who has the most Grammys? Who has won the most Grammys of all time? Would you think it might be Beyonce? Would you think it might be the Beatles? Elvis Presley? You know, some of the biggest names, some of the most commercially successful names in music? No, not at all. You know, the Beatles only won six Grammy Awards. Elvis has even fewer than that. The person who has had the most Grammy Awards, passed away now, is Sir George Schulte of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. 31 Grammy Awards, the most wins in the classical field, but more total Grammy Awards than any other performer. Sir George Schulte with, as I like to call him, the cats in the CSO. after that... 27 Grammy Awards for Quincy Jones for all of the music that he's arranged, produced in more than 10 different genres of music through the years. That one's not too much of a surprise. But Alison Krauss has 27 Grammy Awards also, also holding the distinction of the female artist with the most Grammy Awards of all time. Vladimir Horowitz, the late pianist composer, 25. Pierre Boulez. Pierre Boulez, 26 Grammy Awards. Lots of classical ones. Stevie Wonder has 25. John Williams, not the host here on WGN, but the composer of classic soundtracks, great movie soundtracks, some of the greatest movies of all time. 24 Grammys for him, and then Beyonce comes in with 22. Jazzman Chick Corea with 22. U2 has 22. Vince Gill with 21. Jay-Z has 21. Kanye West has 21. I would not have guessed Kanye West to have that many Grammy Awards. I guess it makes sense, you know, rap categories. Henry Mancini has 20. Those are your top Grammy Award winners for tonight. The person who is most nominated for tonight is Kendrick Lamar. He's got 8 nominations, and we'll see how all of that shakes out. We'll see what's going on with news. And coming up in our next hour, my Dean's List A-List interview for today. Very funny conversation with the great Craig Ferguson, a former talk show host, stand-up comedian, also one of the voices in the new How to Train Your Dragon movie. That's all coming up next, WGN. West Side Story will certainly recognize the classic G. Officer Krupke. This is from an album called West Side Story Reimagined. How do you say his name, Shwani?
Bobby Sanabria.
Bobby Sanabria. The Bobby Sanabria.
The Multiverse Big Band.
Big Band. They took the West Side Story soundtrack and Latined it up. How fun is this? Love this.
I knew you would.
We're talking about, now is this a Chicago band?
No, this is a New York based band. New York and when we say big band, if you look at the personnel, this is a very big band. This is an orchestra.
Fantastic.
And it was all recorded live at a well-known place called Dizzy's Club Coca-Cola, which is part of Lincoln Center, the Jazz at Lincoln Center program.
History, yeah, very historic place.
Yeah, and the live audience, if you listen to the whole thing, they go crazy.
It's
called West Side Story Reimagined, if anybody wants to check it out further, get a copy of it. But we were also talking about Chicago Grammy nominees this year. Among them, Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy is nominated Best Rock Album category. We wish him a lot of good luck. Columbia College faculty member and alum Jonathan McReynolds is nominated the Best Gospel Performance category. Also, Mary Mazurek is nominated for Best Engineering Work.
A good friend of mine, as a matter of fact.
Name dropper. Liquid Melancholy, clarinet music of James M. Stevenson. And you had some other, some jazz cats who are nominated, right?
Yes, Kurt Elling.
Love Kurt Elling.
Kurt Elling is nominated, and also...
you know, Kurt Elling was one of the first guests I had on my show here on WGN.
Was he really?
10,000 years ago, yeah.
Yes.
Came in and sang.
Kurt Elling and...
Super nice guy.
The brother of... Yeah, he is a very nice guy, and has done a lot of great work and is proud to call Chicago home still. He tours the world, he goes all over, but still calls Chicago home. And... in addition to Ramsey Lewis, performed at the Chicago Jazz Festival last year and just knocked them out.
Of course.
And then the other is a person named Freddie Cole, a brother of one Nat King Cole.
Wow, that's very cool. I know that there are some others, but these are the ones that jump out. I mean, the nominee list for the Grammys, what you will see on television tonight is maybe 1/20th. Of the awards that are actually going to be given out tonight. And they only give out the major categories on the television show itself.
They've added categories over the years.
Not televised, but...
Not televised, but I mean, if you look at the entire list of Grammy Award nominees, they've added quite a few over the years. It's really something.
Jimmy Carter is nominated for a Grammy this year for Best Spoken Word. Best Spoken Word album. I hope he wins. Jim Gaffigan is nominated for Best Comedy Album this year. Dave Chappelle, lots of the greats, but Jim Gaffigan is a friend of the show, and we wish him the best with all that.
One more thing about the nominee Mary has been nominated for, John Bruce Yeh, who is one of the cats in the CSO, as you refer to him.
That's right.
Clarinet player, longtime clarinetist with the CSO, helped produce that album.
Isn't that something that the most Grammy Awards you would think would go to, you know, Michael Jackson certainly has plenty. You know, the biggest names in pop music, Beyonce, you know, name the group. But the person with the most Grammy Awards, Sir George Schulte.
Yeah.
From, the late George Schulte, formerly of the CSO, Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
When they were recording with him in the 1970s and 80s, it was consecutive. They won best engineered, best performance, best this and that, year after year.
I know when they did their version of Put a Ring on It.
And for all you sports fans out there, if you can find them and the CSO chorus doing Bear Down Chicago Bears,
that's
a treat.
That's a good one.
That's a treat. They won 3 Grammys for one recording one year.
In different categories.
In different categories.
Yeah. You know, Bob Newhart won... You would think that Bob Newhart, you know, if he was going to win a Grammy, would be in the best comedy category, which is true. In 1961, his Button-Down Mind, his groundbreaking Button-Down Mind album.
I have that on a record at home.
That one, comedy record of the year. But get this, in 1961, it also won record of the year and album of the year overall.
Oh, really? Wow.
Record of the year and album of the year. If I was a musical performer that year, I think I might have been a little upset that a comedy album swept the Grammys that year. I'm trying to think what else was happening musically in 1961.
That was pre-Beatles, right?
Yeah.
You had the Coasters.
Pat Boone.
Pat Boone. Let's see.
So it's not surprising that Bob Newhart won.
Yeah, we may be answering our own questions.
Or answering our own questions, right.
Exactly. You want to hear the song that won the very first record of the year? Grammy Awards started in 1959, by the way. The song that won the very first Grammy Award for record of the year.
Volare. Volare.
can see why it would be a big winner. It.
Felice di stare lassù. E volavo, volavo felice.
That swings, man.
Here's a question for you.
That's Domenico Modugno. Domenico Modugno. Am I saying that right?
Modugno.
Modugno.
Modugno. Yeah.
Okay.
Here's a question for you. And I've always wondered this. Where does the term Grammy come from?
I don't know.
You don't know. Yeah. I don't know either.
Hmm.
But I don't know where that originated.
Is that does it derive from gramophone?
Gramophone, perhaps. Yeah.
What you know which was the early version of a record player.
I think that would make sense. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to say they were just Grammys. Handing out Grammys to whoever back in the early days, but the Chipmunk song.
No. Or maybe it's after someone's
won,
grandma.
The Chipmunk
Hi,
song
Grammy.
Won three awards. Won three Grammy awards.
The one about the hula hoop.
I still want a hula hoop.
And the plane that looped de loops.
Please, Christmas, don't be late.
Alvin.
That one? Right.
Alvin?
That's probably what cinched them to get the three awards.
Alvin!
Alvin!
The first year, Volare won both Record of the Year and Song of the Year. Henry Mancini won Album of the Year for music from Peter Gunn.
That's pretty cool.
That is still cool.
Yeah.
That is still super cool. The next year, 1960, Bobby Darin won Best New Artist. How about that? The Battle of New Orleans won Song of the Year. Frank Sinatra won Album of the Year for Come Dance With Me. The Record of the Year in 1960, Bobby Darin's Mac the Knife.
Mac the Knife, sure.
Yep. Okay, here's that 1961 I was talking about where... the button-down mind of Bob Newhart won Album of the Year. Bob Newhart, I stand corrected on this, he did not win Record of the Year. He won Album of the Year and Best New Artist of the Year and Comedy Album. The Song of the Year was Theme from Exodus, and the Record of the Year was Theme from A Summer Place.
Percy Faith.
By Percy Faith. So I guess I can see, again, why Bob Newhart was the winner.
Have they tried to modernize, though, because it's really not a record anymore. It's a download.
Right. Yeah, right. And they're still calling it record. They still call it Record of the Year and Song of the Year.
I mean, I know that albums and stuff are making a little bit of a comeback, but still.
It should be called release of, you know, something. Right. It's no
to
longer.
To get technical.
It's no longer a record. Thanks for spoiling the evening.
So sorry about that.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. You know, that way they'll maybe watch the rerun of Family Classics.
Well,
instead of going to the Grammys.
We'll be over by then. We'll be done by the time
you can tape it again and watch it again.
That's right. You can
or DVR it.
Right. Tape it. Yeah. What's
Hello.
Tape?
I know.
Last year, Adele's Hello was the Record of the Year. Album of the Year, 25 by Adele. Song of the Year, Thinking Out Loud, Adele's song. And Best New Artist was Chance the Rapper, Chicago's very own. So there you go. Some nice history of the Grammys. Little tidbits you can drop in while you're watching the
Grammys. Yeah, and where else do you get information like this?
You
but on this Peabody Award-winning show.
This is the only show that sees fit to put this information out for the public consumption. And when we come back from the break, one of my favorite people of all time, one of my favorite talk show hosts for sure, the great Craig Ferguson, who I talked to in Los Angeles 2 days ago. He is one of the voices in the new movie, How to Train Your Dragon 3. But we talk about his talk show. We talk about lots of different things with Craigie. Coming up next,
Stay up, it's been a long, long day. And you got the Sandman at the door. But hang on, leave the TV on. And let's do it anyway. It's okay. You can always...
I miss this show so much. The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson that used to be on right after David Letterman. The spot that James Corden has right now. I just thought he was one of the most creative, clever, well-spoken talk show hosts that was out there. He left late night TV and talks about it a little bit on the interview that we've got coming up. Craig Ferguson, you know, from the old Drew Carey show. From his own game show, and one of the voices in the How to Train Your Dragon franchise. The new movie, The Hidden World, will open a little bit later on in the month of February. We had a chance to sit down and talk with the cast of How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World.
and had a great conversation with Craig Ferguson, not only about his movie, but his talk show, but being here in the Chicago area.
Well, I was in Waukegan, like...
Waukegan and Aurora.
Aurora, I love.
Is that a beautiful theater?
I've never played that theater before.
That's an amazing theater.
It's huge, yeah. I was either do the Chicago theater or do Aurora and Waukegan.
Yeah.
But you can't, like, do all three in one pass, because that's too many. So
it would be too much, but...
Yeah, but...
It's very smart of you, though, to hit the geographical area like that, because people
like
won't...
It was my idea.
People won't travel. Doesn't take the credit for it, Craig.
Yeah, I will.
When you first took this gig, however many years ago, a decade ago or something,
did you
think that it would, you know, be three movies and become the franchise that it has?
No, I didn't. I didn't even think that they would let me be in the first movie, because as it started to go along, I thought this is actually really good. And if you know anything about my normal, you know, style, I don't usually go for quality. I go for things that are not that good.
Right.
But people feel sorry for you.
You do go for the train wreck potential.
Right.
I
did one so that people who are not talented can identify. But yes, I don't know. I think after I saw the reaction to the first one, I was like, oh, I think this will be around for a while.
Yeah.
And
what do you think the key is to that? I think it's because it works on so many different levels.
Yeah.
Young kids and old kids enjoy it. It's sweet. It's irreverent. I mean, it's got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I think
that's what I think.
That's right. I think it appeals to everybody. It has a kind of... I mean, how can you not like these movies? It's not like, I hate the dragon. But people can say that. I mean, you can say, I'm not a Star Wars person or something.
Yeah.
You can't say I'm not
Look at that
dragon.
Adorableness. It's horrible back there.
This is awful. And while we're at it, Christmas. We're at Christmas Island. And children. And little bunnies.
Hate them all.
Yeah.
Hate them all. I miss you so much on late night TV.
Thank you.
Do you miss... With given
I miss
what's
you, but I don't miss anything. Else
anybody except me. That's so nice of you to point that.
No,
out.
I don't. I'm very proud of that show, and I'm glad I did it, and I'm glad that it's done.
Yeah, are you sort of glad not to be in the middle of the political mess that you almost would be required to talk about if you were doing that?
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to say, but you said it.
Yeah,
so, I don't know how I would. Fair right now.
Yeah.
I
noticed something interesting on your Twitter account where a lot of comedians and actors are constantly sharing their thoughts and opinions on the day's events. Yours is pretty much, here's where I'm appearing. Thank you for coming to my show last night.
Yeah.
I
don't deal with my Twitter account anymore. About 18 months ago, Tomas, who's my tour manager, my buddy, who kind of works with me, I said, you do the Twitter account, just put up ticket things and stuff. I'm done with social media.
Why's that?
I'm too cool. Twitter is kind of a chat room.
Yeah.
And I'm way too cool to be in chat rooms. I think you knew that before you asked the question. And also, I was done. It was like it was fun for a while now. That's enough.
What's going to be next? What?
I don't know.
Want to be back
on?
I was
just talking to someone about that.
Yeah.
There's a few things around.
Back on TV. Back
I'll probably do some more TV. I'm running out of money.
Yeah. We need more Craigie.
Yeah,
we need more Craigie.
All right. Well, okay. Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Book. Oh, the book. Yeah.
If only there was a book that you had coming out, that would be.
Yeah. I have a book. What's the book called? Riding the Elephant. I haven't read it, but apparently I'm very good. It comes out in May.
Apparently, we've got people like from all over the United States listening to the show.
Cool.
You know, it's Wallace Peabody Awards that we've won.
It's a beautiful day. There's one that says, I'm in Latana, Florida, listening this morning. Hello, Latana. Here's another one. We are listening from Florida. I love Dean Schwanny and Andy.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. That's very nice. It really is.
It is very nice. Here's another one saying, I'm listening to you guys in Elburn, Illinois. Not exactly the tropics capital of America, but we still appreciate
yes,
that.
Indeed.
Yeah, we love Elburn, Illinois. We appreciate that very much. Oh, and Shwani, I wanted to mention to you, I got a text from Jeff Bezos.
Oh, yes.
He wanted to know how you kept those Greektown
pictures.
Oh,
here we go with the pictures again.
How you kept your Greektown pictures private all these years. He's having a little trouble with some, apparently with some photos.
yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
And somehow he heard about your Greektown pictures that I have in a safe deposit
box. To keep
box.
Secret, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's his answer right there. They're in your safe deposit box.
Very incriminating photos of actually both Shwani and I. We're both very incriminating.
Everybody at that table.
It was a table full
everybody
of,
at that table.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much, if you took everybody at that table, it pretty much represents the entire state government of the state of Virginia.
Oh, wow.
No, we weren't that bad. Thank goodness we weren't.
No,
we weren't that bad.
No, we need to.
We were just
clarify
stupid.
And emphasize.
Yeah, we were not.
No,
no, but we were stupid. And if the when I die, if you don't get these pictures before someone else, it's going to be they're just stupid pictures, really.
Oh yeah, they really are. Well, the rest of the people in the restaurant got a big
everybody
got a laugh
to,
out of it.
Everybody
so.
Seemed to enjoy the entertainment that we were providing that evening.
And that was a very crowded place that night, too.
This was many moons ago in Greektown. The restaurant doesn't even exist anymore.
No.
Diana's Greek Restaurant. It's a famous Greek restaurant, and I used to go there. The food really was not that good there. But you could pretty much do anything in that restaurant, and they wouldn't stop you.
It was pretty unleashed.
It
we'll
was
put it that way.
Decadent and ouzo fueled behavior took
yeah.
place. I got to bring these pictures in to show Andy, though.
I'd like to maybe see them. Yes,
just keep them where they are. then they'll make their way around and. Yeah, just
that's
keep
how
them
trouble.
Where they
that's
are.
How trouble starts. Is
yeah,
that
yeah. yes? That's
I,
right.
I won't show them to anybody.
But don't you think everyone's imagination is way worse than what the pictures really are?
Yeah, the imagination can run wild. Yes.
Yeah, I'm getting some images in my head. I have to go home and take a nap.
I just want to go home.
Here's a text from listening from Panama City, Florida.
Nice.
Wow.
Very nice. Listening this morning.
All the snowbirds in Florida listening.
Chandler, Arizona. Hello, Chandler.
All right.
Chandler.
Hello, Chandler.
Former spring training home with the Milwaukee Brewers.
I'm in Dallas, Texas. Listen every Sunday morning.
Very cool.
That's nice. Mm. Listening in Omaha, Nebraska. We like the show. They don't say they love the show. They say they like the show.
They say they like the show.
Yeah, that's good enough. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Here's another one that says we're in Daytona Beach. Loving the show, guys.
Cool.
Very lovely. Here's a photo that was sent in from Nick.
Oh, no, don't say that word.
As soon as the photo works.
I think Jeff Bezos is on the phone for you again. Listening in Fort Myers Beach.
Oh, cool.
Here's a hello from Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Love that. And Orland Park. Listening today. Well, that's nice. Now, it makes me feel like we're doing some good here.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
I like to hear. We like to hear from people.
Yeah. Because often we feel like we're just three dopes in a room talking to each other.
We're entertaining ourselves.
Right. And really not that well.
Uh-huh.
So we appreciate all of that. It's very, very nice. A quick break, and we're going to get into today's Food Time show. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Where are Chicago and Chicagoland's most romantic restaurants? We'll find out next on WGN.
Hey, good looking.
At 12:23, let's kick off Food Time, Chicago Radio's original cooking and dining show, the All Things Edible show, heard every Sunday at this time. Our Food Time show this week is sponsored by the Greek Islands Restaurant, GreekIslands.net. And today we focus in for Valentine's Day. I would argue one of the most unpleasant days to go out for dinner. Same thing with New Year's Eve. I would argue not the greatest day to go out because everybody's going out and it's crowded and the restaurant staffs are pressed to the max. Not the best choice, but still, a lot of you want to do something special for Valentine's Day. Wow. Here's me throwing a bucket of cold water on our topic that we're about to talk about. Where are the most romantic restaurants in the Chicago area? Maybe I just haven't found them yet. That's why I'm in such need of our next guest, who is Morgan Olson, the editor-in-chief of Time Out Chicago. Welcome to my anti-Valentine's Day rant.
Thank you. I would have had some other restaurants planned if I knew. We could have gone a totally different direction.
Well, no, I mean, I want to find a nice experience for people. But when I've gone out for Valentine's Day, it's so crowded. And it's never. I never leave the busy restaurant days of the year going, wow, that was a great experience. It's always crowded. The food is never really as good as you would normally get it at these restaurants because they're so busy.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to keep trying every year, right?
Totally.
Yeah. Don't and listen to me. Don't listen to Uncle Dean.
The good thing about Valentine's Day this year, being on Thursday, is that you really could go out earlier in the week, save it for the weekend. You could have gone out this past weekend. But try to spread it out. There's also Restaurant Week, which is still going on until Tuesday, I believe, the 12th.
Right.
So
they extended it because
you could kind of take advantage of that and do a Valentine's Day Restaurant Week situation. Yeah. But I totally recommend going out any other day of the week besides Valentine's Day.
Yeah, okay.
Because
so you're kind of tracking with me on that. And you're right, because Valentine's Day will be on Thursday. We've got Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday when places are not going to be as busy, or go next weekend. Make it after. It doesn't have to be on, because every day should be Valentine's
Day.
Absolutely. To you and your special person in your life. What makes a restaurant a great romantic restaurant?
So I look at two factors. One, the environment and the design. I think that right now there's especially some really nice design happening in Chicago restaurants, whether it's the artwork or the cool, secluded little leather booths or, you know, velvet bar stools. Those are the kind of details that I look for when I think about a really romantic restaurant. Also, lighting always helps.
Right.
Dim lighting, real candles at the table. You know, those are the kinds of things that I look for. I also consider service to be a factor when I'm looking for a romantic restaurant. There's nothing worse than going somewhere and having really subpar service and it kind of ruining the experience for you and your date. And then, of course, food. I think we're, you know, so many restaurants are doing the shareable plates thing now. I think pretty much everywhere you go these days, it's like, well, we recommend you order as a table. Which plays really nicely into date night because you can share with your date, you know, try a lot of things. So those are the main factors that I look for. But design is huge for me right now.
And I mean, I guess, you know, what's romantic to one person, you know, may not be, or to somebody else.
Absolutely.
But I tend to like all of those things that you're talking about. But I know people who like to go to busy, you know, kind of frantic settings where it's almost, you know, these restaurants where you feel like you're in a club someplace. The music is so loud.
Totally.
And it's, you know, some people love that.
Yeah.
And for me, that's about the least romantic setting there could possibly be, where you're shouting at each other, trying to be heard over music and drum beats that are playing in the background.
Totally. I feel like that's a huge part of it is noise and sound. You know, if you're early in your dating life with someone, it might be best to go somewhere loud where you don't have to totally rely on conversation.
Yeah, some distractions where you want
a show going on, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you. I prefer something a little bit more quiet, something where you can hear your partner or your date talking, I think is really ideal.
Okay, so we'll get into some specifics in a minute. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll update news, and then we'll come back with some specific suggestions. And I also want to open up the phone lines for your suggestions out there of restaurants that you think where you go for Valentine's Day, places that you love to go for Valentine's Day that have done a great job. And, you know, tell us why. 312-981-7200. Whenever we talk food, we've always got some nice gifts to give away. And we've got some tickets to give away to see the Mel Brooks musical, The Producers. It's opening now, that's playing now at the Paramount Theater in Ross. So we're going to give away some tickets to that. We've got some gift certificates and things to give away as well. 312-981-7200. Back in a second.
Love American style. Chewing on the red, white, and blue.
couldn't have guessed that that was about to happen.
I was thinking the same thing.
Never. I am so predictable. Sickening.
There's those trumpets.
Morgan Olson is the editor-in-chief of Time Out Chicago. Keeps track on how you can amuse yourself in many ways in Chicago and the suburbs. And today we're talking about most romantic restaurants. We've got some interesting questions on the phone, interesting questions in the text. But let's get to your list, Morgan, that you all put out. What are some of your top choices for most romantic restaurants in Chicago?
Yeah, so one of my favorite romantic restaurants is over in West Loop. It's called Elska, and it's owned by husband and wife, David and Anna Posey. So that already kind of sets the tone for, you know, it being a romantic spot. Yeah. There's a lot of restaurants in Chicago that are owned by husband and wife. But Elska translates to love in Danish, and it's this beautiful, lovely restaurant, huge open kitchen. It's got this great fireplace on the patio outside. So even in the winter, they have the fireplace going and you can see it from the windows of the restaurant. They've got a special Valentine's Day menu. It's a little pricey. It's definitely my splurge item. So if you're celebrating something fancy, they've got a $100 prefix menu. But you can also order a la carte. You could also just go and sit at the bar and have a couple of drinks.
What kind of food do you serve?
So it's kind of like Scandinavian-inspired American cuisine, if I had to sum it up. But some really, really great bites on the menu. Anna handles all of the desserts. She's got a stunning meringue on the menu right now. So, yeah, that's one of my favorite couple-owned restaurants
in
Chicago.
And where is that located again?
So that's over in the West Loop, the west side of West Loop.
Okay. And Belmore is another that you really like.
Yeah. So Belmore is one that even if they didn't serve food in their restaurant, which, you know, obviously they do, I would still consider it one of the sexiest places in Chicago. They've got a beautiful bar. They have this really cool artwork, great lighting situation. And of course, obviously, they do have food. The menu is filled with a lot of seasonal fare. So they've got a great venison tartare, Icelandic cod with Spanish prawns, just really delicious stuff. But again, the bar is also beautiful. I think one of the more beautiful bars in the city. And they do phenomenal cocktails there. So you could always just go grab a seat, do drinks before, and then head somewhere a bit more casual for dinner if you wanted to save a little too.
Okay, and Belmore, again, is located?
That one is also in the West Loop.
West Loop, okay. That's a lot of great restaurants in the West Loop.
Easy, truly.
Easy to choose. You've also got some suburban locations, which I love.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of our listeners are out that way. For example, in Arlington Heights, what is Passero?
Passero. So, yeah, it's not to be confused with Passerota, which is in Chicago proper. Passero is an Italian-American joint that's really got a spotlight on local ingredients and sourcing from Midwestern farms. So they've got lots of shareable dishes like an arancini, a cheesy garlic pull-apart bread, which I'm just like, those words are music to my
Those
ears.
Are the most beautiful words in the English language.
Truly.
When put together. Yeah.
They've also got, you know, fresh handmade pastas. And it's just really, I would describe it as clean, cute, and modern. Nice. Really quaint little restaurant, but super, I mean, just really cute for date night.
Yeah. And it's the address is 5 West Campbell Street in Arlington Heights. And I think that's in like that very quaint downtown Arlington Heights area where there's lots to do and a little strolling and bars and things like that, so you can sort of make an evening of it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Paul, who is in Evanston. Hi, you are on WGN.
Thanks, Dean. I always like listening to you and your show and your dining segment. So a couple of recommendations that I know have stood the test of time, which I think is a good sign in and of itself. One of them is North Pond Cafe in Lincoln Park, which actually overlooks the water and that whole area. The view is incredible, but the food has also always been great with creative American cuisine and fresh seasonal ingredients. And I know they're still very much alive and kicking and doing well. And the other one, which I know stood the test of time, which has been kind of a longstanding tradition and favorite, is Geha's for fondue.
We were just talking about that during the break about Gejas Cafe, the fondue. They call themselves Chicago's most romantic restaurant. It's the fondue restaurant in Chicago, and you know me. What's more romantic than a little vat of scalding hot oil in front of you and your loved one for a dinner,
complimented by the flamenco guitar music?
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. What's your take on Gejas, Morgan?
I think it is. If you are looking for a classic, old school Valentine's Day experience and you really want to lean into it, it's perfect. I mean, I was saying to Dean earlier, no one is doing a dedicated fondue restaurant anymore in Chicago. So it's one of those things you have to experience.
Good choices, Paul. We appreciate that. If you'll hang on for a second, I want to get you a pair of tickets to go see the producers at the Paramount in Aurora, if that's all right.
Well, thanks so much, Dean. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling in. And let's go to Carrie in Sycamore. You are on WGN. Hello.
Hey, Dean. I'm good. So what I'm going to tell you doesn't sound exciting because everybody knows about it, but I do it a little bit differently. My wife and I, and even if I have visitors who aren't familiar with the city, the signature room at the 95th, I never eat in the restaurant, but they have a huge bar one floor above.
Okay.
And you can you use the same private elevator. You can just go for a drink, and they have really good desserts, and they even have a bar menu. And so what my wife and I usually do, and it's very romantic, obviously, on a clear night, you can see the panoramic windows, just like, you know, the observatory deck there. And so you can just go get a drink and dessert and save yourself some money. So what my wife and I usually do is just go, you know, someplace else for dinner, wherever we want, and then go there for, you know, a nightcap. And it's save yourself some money, but you still get the experience, and it's really neat. But not a lot of people know you can do that.
That's
you don't
a good
need
idea.
A reservation.
Yeah.
You don't need a reservation. You don't need to. You can come as you are. I mean, you know, you don't have to get all dressed up to the nines.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there is McDonald's right down the street from there, so
yes,
you go get a quarter pounder, stuff yourself with hot apple pie, and then
that's right.
Go over to the 90. I guess it would be the 96th floor over there.
It is 96. Yeah, the bar is the 96. Exactly.
Yeah, that is a really good idea.
I left the cat out of the bag. Now, next time I go, it's going to be packed because it's
right. Yeah, you just spoiled your own little secret there, my friend.
That's right.
Hang on for a second. There's also a Lou Malnati's right down the street from there. I'm going to send you a gift certificate for Lou Malnati's.
That would be awesome.
All right, you're welcome. Hang on for a quick second. Some of the text questions and comments coming in. Here's somebody saying that they love Pesaro. The restaurant in Arlington Heights that you were talking about. Here's another one that says, try Via Roma, Italian restaurant in Des Plaines for Valentine's Day. Have you ever? I've never been.
I have not, no. But I love Italian for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I think it's a very kind of sensuous choice, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Here is 773 area code. Says, Dean, love your show. As a gay man, any choices for me and my partner? So I can see where that could be awkward in some cases, although it probably has changed a lot.
Yeah.
And it's probably a lot more accepting now, but I could see where that might be a problem and why somebody would want to know where's some place to go for he and his partner that's a gay-friendly environment.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think anything on this list is absolutely going to be LGBTQ-friendly. But one of my favorite restaurants in Boys Town is Home Bistro. It's an older spot. It's been around for forever. And it's actually BYOB friendly.
Oh, nice.
So you can get an awesome dinner there. Really, like, you know, again, local, seasonal. I think it's New American Fare. But bring a bottle of wine. I mean, you save yourself so much money.
All kinds of money, yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking during the break. We were talking about Dinotto's restaurant
mm-hmm.
on now it's on Well Street. They have a new location that's on Well Street. I have said that they make the greatest lasagna in the history of lasagna.
Ooh,
there.
Yum.
It is delicious. But they have lots of different Italian items on their menu. But they also have one of these wood fire iron ovens from Naples. And they make incredible pizzas there as well. That would be a great place.
And honestly,
also,
I feel like a pizza oven really sets the mood. I know it's kind of like, you know, it's for making food, but it kind of doubles as a fireplace. I like that.
Here is someone texting in. I've been devastated ever since the restaurant Sabatino's closed.
Oh, I was just thinking about Sabatino's because, you know, coming around with the live music,
right, right.
The baked Alaska, I mean.
Tableside baked Alaska.
Oh.
And I've been saying I'm taking nominees right now to be my new Sabatino's.
Please let me know what you find I'm devastated
yeah,
too.
Yeah, here's somebody texting in St. Charles Place in Geneva could be your stop to replace Sabatino's. It's like an old-time supper club. That's what I love. That's what I love. Someone texting in, fondue is also at the Melting Pot in Naperville and also in Downers Grove.
Very true.
Those of you looking for that. Here is Marty in Norwich. You're on WGN.
Yeah, I was thinking of a couple of places in Chicago, but you mentioned it. But so then the other ones I was thinking was if you're in the suburbs, like West Suburbs, Naperville, you want a nice little quiet spot for drinks initially. It's called Norcutt Liquorette. It's next to Empire, which is, you know, big typical bar. That's a nice little quiet little spot.
What's the restaurant called? Norcutt, you said?
Northcutt, yeah.
Oh, Northcutt. Northcutt, okay.
Yeah, it's actually next to the Empire, which is a restaurant bar.
Got it.
And it's a speakeasy type thing.
Oh, nice.
Small plate. Really, you know, seating is very comfortable. And, you know, you could be just two, or you could be, if you have a couples going out, you could have, you know, seats four or six.
I like the speakeasy slash gangster tie-in to Valentine's Day for the Chicago Valentine's Day Massacre lovers in you out there.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good spot. And there's another one down the street. It's called Santo Cielo. It's a restaurant, but it's got a nice view of the river, downtown Naperville.
Yeah.
If you get a table by the window, you can literally just be looking out into the river. And all the lights of downtown Naperville. It's really quiet. That's not quiet, but it's very romantic.
Yeah. Those are some excellent choices. Marty, hang on for a second. I'm going to send you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate also. Here's another texter. And this has become like a big Valentine's Day thing in Chicago. 630 area code reminding us White Castles has an awesome Valentine's Day special. They put down tablecloth and you get paper plates. Very romantic. Hold the onions, it says. It's a good choice for Valentine's Day.
Absolutely.
Fun choice. Something different.
Absolutely.
Here is Chris in Oak Brook. You're on WGN.
Oh, I just had a suggestion for a place.
Yeah.
A romantic place. I'm sure your guests there heard of it. Gilt Bar, GILT.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And River North.
That's a really good one.
Not the upstairs. I'd prefer to go downstairs. It has that speakeasy feel to it. It's kind of like a library down there. And it's like a throwback to the old days there, where you have the big band music playing, velvet dining chairs, leather Chesterfield, stuff like, you know.
No, I like places nice like that. I like those. I love old school restaurants like that. That would be right down my alley.
Yeah, you love this place.
Gilt Bar. I've never been. I know it's been open for a long time, but
it's on Kinsey near Franklin.
Yeah, drive by it all. I see it all the time. I drive by it all the time. I've never stopped, but I'm going to check it out. Hey, I'm going to get you. Say again.
Definitely go downstairs in the basement. That's where you're going to have that old-time feel.
Yeah, that's where they usually send me anyway for some reason. I don't know why. A pair of tickets to see the Producers at the Paramount. That's playing there through March 17th for you, not too far from Oak Brook. If you'll hold on for a second, we'll take care of that. Someone texting in and saying, what was that place that you said has the best lasagna? Dinotto's is what I was talking about. D-I-N-O-T-T-O, apostrophe S, Dinotto's. It's a veal, ground veal lasagna, homemade pasta, homemade sauce. It's not super cheesy. It's light and filling and so tasty. It's my favorite lasagna of any place in Chicago, Dinotto's. Can't recommend them enough. A quick break and we'll come back and wrap it up with more from Morgan Olson from Time Out Chicago, your favorite romantic restaurants for Valentine's Day on WGN.